How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. A lot of stuff to get into here today in the first segment, along with Mike Sempervivi. We're going to be joined by Dave Meltzer. We'll be talking the newest issue of The Observer, which is available only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll go over some of the main stories from the issue. If you want more, you can sign up and read the whole 35,000-word issue available for subscribers on the website. Got a lot of news to get into on top of that here today, including the very strange story of Mirko Krokop, which I'm actually going to talk to Dave about in the opening segment. It's so weird. Mirko Krokop retired. Then he allegedly got busted by USADA, and now he is admitted to taking, of all things, human growth hormone, which is very, very difficult to test for, and almost nobody ever gets busted for it. So we're going to talk about that on the show today, as well as some pro wrestling news. Obviously, last night was NXT. We have new tag team champions on that show. We've also got the Breaking Ground show, which still we have not talked about here on this program the last couple of days. The third episode is they were, I guess, touring Texas. They were on a house show loop. It's focused on a couple of guys, including Baron Corbin. We can talk about that. We'll take some phone calls, emails, text messages, etc. today. I want to throw the numbers very quickly. Studio line, 425-488-0525. That is 425-488-0525. Toll free, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Text messages to 425-780-7566. All of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Back in a moment with more Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Brian Alvarez, Mike Sempervivi, and Dave Meltzer is joining us here, as he does every Thursday on the show. The new issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter is up on the front page right now. Tons of stories in there, including a lot of notes on the WrestleMania card now that Seth Rollins is out. A lot of changes. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But Dave, did you see this morning that Mirko Krokop admitted to what he was taking to fail his USADA test?
Well, he said that he was taking growth hormone, which is interesting only because it's almost never caught.
Yes.
So I don't know if that means that they got him like within hours of him taking it, which is possible because that is usually how they get it, or maybe it's something else and he's admitting to growth hormone thinking that it's the lesser of evils or, you know, clearly he's been trying to get ahead of the story. That's why he announced his retirement, because when he announced his retirement, he obviously knew about that test. So immediately he retired, and then the test came out, and so far, you know, they have not revealed the substance in the test, only that he failed, and that they are going through the procedures of going through probably testing the B sample is what I'm guessing.
Hey, Dave, whether it's good timing or not for USADA, with all the black eyes they've had as far as PR has gone over the last couple of months, is this a good sign for them? Just really, as far as image goes, because they got beat up so much.
Because I think the people, when the idea was they'd been testing since July and nobody was caught with these random tests, when UFC or the Nevada Commission was doing random tests and it was like 30% of the people getting caught. But, of course, there is a difference because people know that they've got to get off and they can be tested any time, whereas before, when those random tests were catching people, the people were kind of thinking that they had free reign because they weren't expecting the test. Now it's like you have to always be expecting the test because it could come at any moment. So I think that's one of the reasons why the percentage of people failing is down. But the fact that nobody had failed was going to get people suspicious, and now, you know, somebody's failed for something at least.
So he did say that he was mixing a little bit of growth hormone, he said, along with blood plasma. He'd done it for 6 straight days, and then he says, USADA came to test me. So he may have just had really bad timing.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But if you're on a cycle of growth hormone, you are taking it every day for, you know, several days in a row.
Yep.
But the thing is it's how many hours it takes to get out of the system. I mean, usually the rule of thumb with athletes is that they, if they're doing growth hormone, is if they shoot it up around 11 at night, figuring that the earliest the testers are going to come is 9 or 10 in the morning the next morning, and that's enough time to clear it. So if he was doing it, let's say, maybe he wasn't doing it at 11 at night, maybe he was doing it at like 2 in the afternoon and they came at 4, in which case, then you can get caught.
Now, he does say here the test results are not even finished. I'm not even sure they're going to find anything. And he's claiming that
they're going to find something because that's what came out yesterday. We just don't know what it is.
Sure. He's saying that he suspended because he told UFC himself that he was getting the treatment. But apparently there was, I guess we'll see what happens here. But interesting. Growth hormone. That's the first thing anyone got popped for in the USADA test, was one of the hardest things to actually test for. So there you go.
Well, it's all the in the timing. I think that the fact that they, you know, I mean, some people will look and go like, well, they caught a guy who already announced his retirement. But I think it's the other way around. I think he announced retirement because he was caught.
Hey, Dave, this may be kind of an odd question, but when it comes to his status in Japan, could he, in theory, get into a quote-unquote kickboxing match or just something where he can fight somewhere else, or is it just opening up whoever uses him to too much of a lawsuit possibility from the UFC?
UFC's got exclusives for pro wrestling, kickboxing, boxing, MMA, so he couldn't unless UFC releases him. Now, if he's not going to be available for 2 years, would UFC release him from his contract and then he'd be free to do whatever he wants in Japan? Yes. And that wouldn't surprise me if they're on good terms. I mean, the thing with Wanderlei Silva is because they're on bad terms, UFC isn't speeding up to release him. Because Wanderlei obviously wants to fight in Rising, you know, and he wants to be fighting in Japan, which he could, even with his suspensions in Nevada, because Japan doesn't recognize. Japan's got no commission system, so the commission, you know, commission suspensions that are recognized in most of the world are not recognized in Japan.
All right, so in the new Observer this week, which is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as a print edition, you broke the story that it looks like Rock is not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania this year, which throws a lot of different plans into disarray. That and the Seth Rollins injury. What's going on with Rock? What happened?
Yeah, it's from what I gather, it's an insurance issue. There's some movie that he's working on that was going to get insurance, and because of the thing that happened with the Hercules movie, if you remember, the Hercules movie had to be delayed by, I don't know if it was a month, but several weeks, because he tore his abductor and tore his abdominal muscles in the second John Cena match.
And he got hurt in the first John Cena match.
That was a hamstring injury, but that didn't really delay anything.
No, but the point was, he's had two WrestleMania matches, and he got hurt in both of them.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you try to do 30-minute matches, I guess. Because he wrestled a lot of other matches where he didn't get hurt, but not a lot, a few. But yeah, he got hurt in both WrestleMania matches. And the second one, I mean, that was real significant. It was a lot worse than I think people realize, how, you know, and it delayed the movie. And so there was an insurance thing, but I think that, like, the insurance coverage for whatever movie was like, you know, we're not going to insure you if this guy does wrestling, because that's a dangerous activity. So for that reason, unless they can work this through, and I've heard it's not like it's 100%, but right now he's off the card as far as being a wrestler. Can he appear and do what he did last year and the year before? Of course he can, if he wants to. But the idea of him wrestling Brock Lesnar or him wrestling Triple H or anyone else, yeah, that's right now that's off the books.
So basically we've got Rock off the show. It appears Ronda Rousey is off the show in a wrestling capacity, both due to the movie and we don't even have any idea whether she'd get clearance from Dana White anyway, but is it possible that she could also just make an appearance?
It's if Dana White agrees to it. The thing is that she's over in Indonesia, and that's another issue in the sense that she'd have to get, you know, the movie people are not going to be thrilled with the idea of, hey, I'm flying to, where is it this year? We're going to fly to Dallas, Texas, and I'm going to be gone for 3 days in a movie shoot. I mean, it's not like it's impossible, but I know how those movies work. It's going to be very difficult. I mean, extremely difficult. So I would say, you know, Rhonda, I would say probably 90% no appearance, unless, you know, she can convince the movie people that they can go a couple days without her. So she's probably not going to be there at all. I don't know what his schedule is as far as movie filming goes. If he's got a movie that's filming at that time, Rock, then he probably won't be at WrestleMania. But if he's free, like he's been the last 2 years, then I would be pretty sure he will be there.
So the Observer has a full breakdown of what we know about the card so far, but I guess staying on that topic, with Rock out, it was going to be Triple H versus The Rock, and then Rock could no longer do it, and so I guess maybe they were going to do Triple H versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that was on the books, was Triple H and Seth Rollins when Seth went down.
So now Seth is down. Do you think that we're going to see a Triple H match at Mania, or do you think he's just going to be off the card?
I think that they're going to probably try to do something, because I think that with no Rock and no Austin, that they're going to feel like that they need, you know, something. But then it's like, who would it be? And that becomes tricky, because you're going to have to start something. I mean, literally, you're going to start something right about now to have it ready then. I mean, you could do, and again, here's another thing. So Dave Bautista. So that becomes a question of what is his schedule like? He's doing Guardians of the Galaxy in January. How long that movie, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, how long that's going to be filming and what his schedule is. Obviously, that's going to take precedence over Mania, but if he is free, you know, he has always wanted to do a retirement match with Triple H at WrestleMania, so there's that. That's one that's open. I mean, it's a possibility.
Well, there are a lot of movies where the filming period is 3 months, and so if you start in early January, you'd be all of January, all of February, all of March. He would be theoretically free
If it's going to be a 3 month filming, he'll miss Mania.
So he wouldn't. So maybe they'd be holding him over for retakes or whatever.
They could. I mean, he's going to have a major part in that movie.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, he's going to have a 3 day thing. I mean. But here's the other problem. If he's out there and they're filming the movie on location, I mean, where is he going to be for the, you know, he can't do the Raws to promote it either.
That's true.
So I would say if it's a 3 month shoot, there's not a chance he's going to be at Mania. If it's a 6 week shoot, yeah, then he can do it.
All righty. Well, Dave, stand by. We'll be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, we have Dave Meltzer here for one more segment here today. We're talking all sorts of topics. New issue of The Observer is up for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com right now. We're going to take your phone calls for Dave during this segment as well. If you want to give us a call, studio line 425-488-0525. Toll free 844-411-5411. All of these numbers are up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, so head over there, text messages as well if you want to send those in, 425-780-7566. And we have a text here, Dave, from somebody that says, maybe Sting can get his win back on Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't think that one's
I don't
happen.
Think we should hold our breath on that one right there.
No.
One question.
He may not be available either.
That's right. I hesitate to even ask this question because I know that every time this question comes up, bunch of people get mad, including Steve Austin. But somebody did send a mailbag question last night, and they said, with everybody down, does that in any way open up the possibility of Steve Austin doing the show?
I never want to say there's no possibility, but I think he's used the term 99% no, so I think that he's being honest when he says it. As time goes on, I know that he said that he needs 6 months of focus and training. And we're getting to where we're past that six-month window anyway. It's possible, but I really don't see it. And there's a reason he hasn't wrestled in 12 years, and there's been plenty of opportunity. And I think that that's because he doesn't want to wrestle again. I think that's just it. I think that, you know, I mean, this was the year to do it. He had the right opponent. You know, a couple of years ago, he talked about Punk, and that was the right opponent. But, you know, when it came down to doing it, he never did it. So I think that, you know, he's talked about it, thought about it, but I think when he thinks about it, the answer is always no.
All right, studio line, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Bryce from Peoria, Illinois.
Bryce, what's your question for Dave?
Dave, you know, I'm just confused of where they're going. So are they going with Roman versus Cena, or do you think they're going with Cena versus Taker?
It was Roman versus Cena before Seth got hurt. The week, you know, as of the end of last week. Now, where it's going to go, who knows? So,
where do you think that leaves Brock?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know where it leaves Brock, and Brock doesn't know where it leaves Brock either. So they're still coming up with it. I mean, Brock was going to be with Taker, so Mm-hmm. You know, that then they, and I, you know, there's, I don't know who else. I don't know. I mean, it could wind up being Brock against Rollins, and I mean, Brock against Roman and Cena against Taker. I could definitely see that, just the way everything shapes up with everybody being gone. But, you know, that would be a change of what the plans were.
You got a story in the Observer about the Crow Cop situation. This obviously was before everything went down. This was just the announcement of his retirement. And we talked a little bit about contractual issues earlier, but somebody sent a text and said, rumor in MMA circles is he failed it intentionally to try to fight Fedor on New Year's Eve for Rising.
No.
This would be a big risk because he would have to presume that if he failed and got the suspension, they would release him from his contract. That's a huge risk to take.
It's not going to happen that way. And they're not, you know, that's just ridiculous.
You've also got a story about...
I mean, here's the thing. Then he would, to fail on purpose, he would have to know that they were going to test him ahead of time and then make sure to load up on drugs that week.
That's right.
Yeah, so the fact that he didn't know he was being tested makes that just completely ridiculous.
He would have to get a reverse tip-off.
Exactly.
Somebody would have to tip him off that you're about to be tested.
Now let me load up on stuff. I mean, and here's the other thing. None of these fighters want to be popped. I mean, just, you know, between the just the black eye on your entire career and, you know, there's an embarrassment factor to it. Nobody is looking to fail drug tests, I promise.
Here's another story in the Observer about the Jerry Jarrett, his proposed promotion. You talked about Shane Douglas last week, and this person wants to know, why does anybody keep giving Shane Douglas money to start promotions? I don't know if there's a good answer for this.
Shane Douglas's promotion. It's actually the guy from Lycos's promotion, and who was bringing Shane Douglas in. Now, why he would go to Shane Douglas? That's a different question, and I don't have a good answer for that. But this is something that actually happened many years ago, and they're saying they're starting in January, so we'll see. But you know, here's the thing: until I hear about television deals, and I you know, you just can't take anything seriously when it comes to a new national promotion. I mean, even with a television deal, look at TNA and Ring of Honor. They're you know, not exactly knocking them dead. I mean, they're around, but to be someone's, I don't care who's behind you, unless you've got that television deal and it's a good time slot on a good station, it's just nothing to get excited over. That's the reality.
Studio line, you're on the air with Dave. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas. My question for Dave is, with all these crazy twists and turns, does this make WWE have to seriously reevaluate the manner of which they have been showcasing most of their undercard talent and have to start to rebuild this undercard so we can have new potential stars?
I would think so, but I haven't seen it yet. Because part of that would be, here's the biggest obstacle to this. To do that, they would have to sit down and go, you know what? We've been wrong for the last 7 years. And that's just a real hard pill to swallow. So, but that is the reality. The reality is the booking, the way they do their booking, has not created any stars. I mean, they've only really attempted in a few cases. I mean, I guess you could say Daniel Bryan, Punk, but they got over, you know, they got over in spite of, not because of, the push. And Roman was the guy who they really got behind, who, you know, again, they don't really get behind people to that level. That's the problem. I mean, I see it, like, you know, especially like with the women, where they go out there with this Diva Revolution thing, with the idea like we're going to start with a clean slate, and now here we are, and it's the exact same thing, just with a few new faces involved.
Okay, thank you.
And longer matches, but I mean, as far as the booking goes, as far as, you know, how they, you know, book finishes and everything, it's the exact same thing.
I would be very sad if it took everybody going down for them to realize that maybe at some point everybody's going to go down and maybe we shouldn't do 50-50 with the mid-card because we may need someone.
Well, it's not so much the 50-50 with the mid-card. The actual real mid-card should be 50-50. It's just the problem is that you should have whatever it is, like 8 guys or 10 guys on top who are pushed as, you know, real top guys, and you really haven't had that. You've had everyone being 50-50. That's the problem. You know, you're going to have to do 50-50 just for longevity of guys, but again, like, the key guys need to be fed to guys who are not 50-50 guys, and they're going to have to lose and not lose the way they did on Raw this week. I mean, it's going to be, You've got to put the guy over, as opposed to now where it's just like 1-2-3 means nothing and the other guy gets his heat back and all that. Because when you do that, you don't really accomplish anything. You don't, you know, no one goes up, no one goes down. And that's what we got, a whole crew of mid-carders.
All right, one last call here on the studio line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Dan Hernandez. How are you?
What's up?
Good. I have a question, because this weekend we have the big UFC with Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, she's like such a big, not an underdog at all. Like, ESPN recently did their 30-for-30 on Mike Tyson and losing to Buster Douglas at the Tokyo Dome.
Yep.
Like, what would have to happen for Holly Holmes to win? Like, does she have to have a lucky punch? Or
same thing.
Well, Mike Tyson had a bad night and things there. You know, there's a lot that went into that one that I don't think is going to go into this one. But it's a fight. Things can happen. You can blow out your knee. You can get hit with the right punch and not recover. I mean, there's always a chance. That's why, like, when these odds are 20-1 or 22-1, at that point already I'm thinking, you know, people get hurt all the time in fights. The odds of getting hurt are a lot less than 22-1. So those, you know, once your odds are past 10-1, I mean, not that I expect her to lose, but I think any odds longer than 10-1 in a fight, especially with two people who are relatively good fighters, I think that's just, you know, things just can happen. You know, I mean, you know, look at, you know, again, like Uriah Hall and Gegard Mousasi. I'm not so sure that they fight 10 times that Uriah Hall loses almost every single time, but he did win when the fight actually happened. He did win. He kicked the guy in the face. If Holly Holm kicks Ronda in the face with a spin kick she doesn't see coming, you know, Ronda's not immune. No one's, you know, there's no, she's not Superwoman.
The Wrestling Observer newsletter is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. There's tons of news stories in this. If you want to understand wrestling, you need to be reading The Observer. And if you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com, not only can you read the issue we've been talking about here today, but last week's Hall of Fame issue is up there. And every single issue that has been published weekly since 2008 is available on the website. Plus, we've got, I believe, 1991 all the way through 1997 is available up
1998, actually.
1998. So all the way up through 1998 is available on the website as well if you want to relive some of the Monday Night Wars. And those are fun because every Tuesday we review Retro Raw and Retro Nitro from 19 years ago this week, and you can listen to the reviews and also go back and read the observers from that period as well. So it's a great package that's up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also grab hard copies, P.O. Box 1228, Campbell, California, 95009. And how much is it for one set, Dave?
It's $12 for one set U.S.
$12.
Yep.
That's right, $12 U.S. All the information on ordering hard copy is available on WrestlingObserver.com as well. And Dave, thanks so much for doing the show today.
Okay, great. We'll talk soon.
And of course, yep, Dave is up for subscribers 3 times a week at least at WrestlingObserver.com. And we'll be back in just a moment. We'll take more of your phone calls, Mike and I, your text messages, your emails. I got a lot of text messages here. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Give us a call today, studio line 425-488-0525, toll free 844-411-5411, and you can text message us at 425-780-7566. Mike is at Sempervivi, I am at Brian Alvarez, Sports Byline at Sports Byline USA. We got a guy here on Twitter, Mike, who is very mad, I think at me, and I don't even know why. He says, I am a longtime subscriber and listener, but the shilling for Roman Reigns is becoming unbearable. He's very upset that if you look at the crowd, you're going to see Kevin Owens, John Cena, Dean Ambrose, and Brock Lesnar shirts, no Roman. Well, first off, I have no horse in this race. I don't care. I am merely telling you what they're doing, and their mindset behind it. They think that Roman is the next guy. They claim that the number two merchandise seller is Roman Reigns. I'm just telling you. All
and
I know...
Me,
go ahead.
No, saying it's just an opinion. When you look at it, I think if they're going to do something, and I've said this I don't know how many times with Roman Reigns, now would be that time. You know, you don't, and that doesn't mean forget about Kevin Owens and bury him 10 feet under and leave him in the dust. It's build up Kevin Owens so you have an opponent and you know where he stands, the same way you take care of Dean Ambrose. And you, it's just, why would you not try to do everything you can for everyone right now, considering the position that you're in? You should be doing that all the time anyway. So it's, I think it's a little bit of a silly argument for everyone to kind of be in agreement that you better crap or get off the pot with Roman Reigns right now and see what you got.
He says, Roman Reigns, shows that Roman headlines are 1,000 less than Cena or Dean Ambrose. It is in this week's Observer. This shilling sucks. Well, what this week's Observer says is that Cena and Kevin Owens averaged 3,150. Reigns and Wyatt averaged 2,560, which is much less. Randy Orton and Sheamus averaged 3,250, which is above what John Cena and Kevin Owens did. So, I mean, if you really want to make the argument that it shouldn't be Roman Reigns, I guess you're saying maybe it should be Sheamus, which I think would be a terrible idea, or Randy Orton, who is injured. Cena versus Rollins, 3,567. Rollins is down, so that leaves us with John Cena. And the other Dean Ambrose show, Dean Ambrose was teaming with Roman Reigns to face the Wyatts, and they were at 3,600. So, actually, you could argue that the highest, the most, the biggest average was for a show involving Roman Reigns. And then Dave says, we're in a situation where nobody, not even Cena, is doing normal house show level numbers. So, I mean, I don't see where the argument is that Dean Ambrose is doing much better, because, yes, Dean Ambrose was on the house show loop that drew the most fans, but he was teaming with Roman Reigns. And one other thing, and listen, again, I'm not shilling. I don't care. I'm just telling you what the numbers are. And if you look in a crowd at a television taping and you see very few Roman Reigns shirts, well, guess what else you see at a television taping? You see a whole bunch of people booing Roman Reigns. That audience at television tapings, yes, they may not be buying Roman Reigns merchandise, but you're talking two TV tapings a week, and you're talking four house shows a week, and if people are showing up at SmackDown and house shows, and they're buying tons of Roman Reigns merchandise, or they're buying a lot of it online, it's one of the hottest sellers at ShopZone, that would explain why he's the number two t-shirt seller. All I know is they claim he's the number two merchandise seller. I don't have the numbers. I don't know. This is just what WWE claims. All I'm doing is reporting it. Don't shoot me.
And I don't understand how that would be a shocking thing anyway. Number one, if he's got a little bit more merchandise or has got more diverse merchandise than somebody else, which I could see because you are marketing Roman Reigns to a larger cross-section. And it was like Sheamus a couple years ago, I'm sure, had great merchandise sales because he was attached to CM Punk, Randy Orton, John Cena. So that one, that may have something to do with it. And two, I just don't think it's that, should not be, at least if you look at it with a critical eye, that out of the realm of possibility that he really is that way because of t-shirts bought for little kids and things like that, that are, you know, you're not seeing at the wrestling matches every Monday night per se, but considering who he's marketed to, that crowd.
Laura here says, I was at the SmackDown taping in Manchester and Roman was cheered. Well, he's cheered in a lot of places. He's cheered at the house shows virtually universally. It's Raw where he is booed out of the building. And, of course, since that's the A show, and that's the show that everybody sees every week, I think there's this assumption that he's way less over than maybe he is. I don't know. We'll see. What else do we have here in the text message bin? This person says, are we going to see Ambrose or Reigns turn heel at Survivor Series? Well, as we talked about yesterday, they are teasing a potential Roman Reigns heel turn. The whole segment at the beginning of Raw, where Triple H offered him the world and he said no. I mean, when you look at the history of WWE, that could be the beginning of a swerve. I mean, they also, at SmackDown, which is going to be airing tonight, this is not really a spoiler, but they interviewed Roman Reigns, and he said the exact same thing. He very strongly pushed, I don't need the authority. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm a stand-up guy. Same kind of promo that WWE usually has a guy cut before he's going to turn heel. I mean, nobody should rule out the possibility that the guy turns heel. They do need a top heel. But you know what else they need? A top babyface. So, we'll see. He could turn heel. Ambrose remains babyface. They feud forever, and then That's your Mania match. They could do that.
Yeah, well, either one of those guys could be the heel in that exchange, although going into Mania, you probably would rather have Roman Reigns be the heel because there's no way Ambrose on those couple days is going to get booed out of the building like Roman is. But just speaking of Mania and turning it back to one thing Dave said, was all these names start dropping off as far as possibilities of appearing to wrestle on the show. I wonder if Chris Jericho is just sitting back somewhere, just kind of, you know, having his feet up on a desk, just listening to this, going, well, if nothing else, at least I know I'm going to get a call and probably a pretty good paycheck. And I know there's a lot of people that have wanted the Shawn Michaels-Daniel Bryan match, which I don't think will happen. But, you know, Daniel Bryan's first appearance on NXT, I believe, was against Chris Jericho. And if physically able to go and to guarantee that Daniel Bryan does not get dragged into the main event mix by fans when they probably want to go with a singles match between a Roman Reigns and a Dean Ambrose, or at least having a one-on-one match, a Daniel Bryan-Chris Jericho match certainly wouldn't be a bad deal on WrestleMania if, you know, God forbid, everything could fall together and it could happen.
Text message here is, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens still planned for Mania or being scrapped due to Owens being a larger main roster heel with Rollins out? I never heard a single time that Zayn versus Owens was ever penciled in for Mania. I've only heard that as speculation. I never heard that as one of the matches they had planned for the show.
A power of positive thinking there, I think.
That's right. So, I mean, Sami Zayn should be back fairly soon, and he should certainly be up on the main roster, and that certainly would be a great WrestleMania match, but, I mean, there's so much up in the air right now.
He'd be great at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
to come back then.
I'm very skeptical that they've thought that far in advance for those guys just based on how everything is going on today. With the lack of people they have right now, do you see Mania 32 still selling out on brand name alone? Well, hey, they did that first pre-sale for Mania, and tickets went like hotcakes. And I think that based on the ticket prices, I mean, they're very expensive in the first few rows, but you know those are going to sell out because it's Mania. Mania always sells out far in advance. I mean, think about this. How many Manias, they put the tickets on sale in like October, November, something like that, and they sell tens of thousands of them long before there's any clue who's even going to be on the show. I think this year's Mania, we didn't have a card until a month before the show, and most of the tickets were already sold. So yeah, this is going to sell well.
Well, you're going to Mania, you know, like we talked about. I wonder, you know, ultimately down the road, if it doesn't atrophy some of the fans off, where instead of announcing 70,000, you may have to legitimately announce 50,000. But regardless of what the number actually is, the reality is it's a destination weekend now for wrestling fans from around the world, and it's a social event. It's a event for a city to get behind because of tax revenue and hospitality and all that stuff coming in. So there's no way at this point, unless the company completely collapses, where WrestleMania will not be a serious money-making, well-attended event, which is obviously what they're also trying to do with SummerSlam as well, too.
I got to read this question and then say something about this Breaking Ground show. So, this person says, on NXT, Carmella said Big Cass is out with a torn MCL. Is she baiting the mechanics and lying to them so they let their guard down, or is he really hurt? Did you watch Breaking Ground this week, Mike?
I did not.
Oh, man, was it interesting in a lot of ways. They focused on the NXT tour of Texas. They did a house show tour. And, of course, if you've ever watched the show, it is a, quote, reality show. And I would say that it's 90% based on reality. But they're very clearly doing certain things for certain reasons. Like the whole story of Dana Brooke being on the bubble. She ain't on the bubble. This is a vehicle for her. I mean, they're going to play it up like she's on the bubble, but then the show long storyline is she exceeded expectations, she overachieved, and now she's going to be a star. That's the story there. So the claim that she's on the bubble is all for the cameras. It's all part of a storyline. That is not a legitimate backstage deal. Now, the reason I bring that up is because this person's asking about Carmella and Big Cass. We got Carmella, Big Cass, and Enzo Amore as a group, and they're super, super, super over. On this show, I mean, you've seen Enzo Amore. Enzo Amore is like a crazy man, very charismatic. I barely saw him at all on this show. This show was all about, not all about, but a good portion of it was about Big Cass and Carmella. And the two of them were going shopping. They were in Texas, and so she bought these cowboy boots, and he bought this hat. And in the middle of it, she looks over at him, and she says, "Oh, he's so sexy and dreamy in that cowboy hat." And I was like, they're setting up. I mean, maybe they're really dating. I actually have no idea. I try not to follow everybody's personal lives unless it becomes part of the story. Now this appears to be part of the story. I'm not sure if they're really dating or if this is like the beginning of some storyline on Breaking Ground. But
the Dolph Bree storyline, was that who it was? Or Dolph and Nikki?
Yeah. What worries me about this is they were heavily pushing these two as a couple, and they weren't pushing Enzo really as part of the trio. And I got really worried because you know they look at Big Cass and they're like, "Dude, we got to get this guy on the main roster quick. Look at how big he is." And when I saw the way that they were pushing him and they were pushing Carmella as a duo, I was like, oh man, I hope they don't call these two up and poor Enzo is just left in the dust. Because if that's the case, they may be in for a rude awakening because Enzo is part of the glue. He is a major part of the glue that holds this act together.
When has that ever stopped them?
Well,
we
never.
Could be looking at Enzo Ryder. He could be, in fact, there you go. He could be one of the hype bros.
Man.
I hate to say it, but you know, again.
No, that's impossible.
They need to be together. They all three need to be together as a unit. And that's, to me, the only way that that thing works, especially if they're going to be on the main roster one day, which I would assume that they're going to have to be. Yeah, please don't break up that team.
I'm not saying they're going to break them up. I just thought it was interesting that, I mean, they've never played up that they're like a couple. I mean, they've never really pushed hard this romance angle on NXT, but they were sure pushing it up here on Breaking Ground, and Enzo was nowhere to be found. Back in a moment, everybody. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, got a nice text here from somebody who says, "Just wanted to say thanks for the show. Helps me get through the middle of my workday. We're here every day, live and free, on Sports Byline USA, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. And you can hear us on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, the list goes on and on. Everything is up at sportsbyline.com, as well as WrestlingObserver.com. And earlier in the show, we plugged the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which is available for subscribers. Weekly newsletters plus archives. You don't understand wrestling if you're not reading The Observer. 35,000 words this week, 45,000 words last week. And that is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, as well as immediate commercial-free downloads of this show. And besides Wrestling Observer Live, we do between 18 and 20 shows every single week. Dave is on 3 to 4 times a week. I got the Brian and Vinny show 3 times a week. Mike does shows. There's so much awesome stuff up there. We have over 7,000 radio shows in the archives, and we have over, I don't know, it's got to be over 1,000 newsletters in the archives. Every weekly Observer from 2008 through today, as well as every weekly Observer from 1991 through 1998, into the Monday Night Wars. We got the Figure Four weekly newsletter as well, a bunch of awesome shows, all available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you like this show, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. You'll never run out of stuff to listen to and read. So head up there and check that out. We'll be back again Friday, as always, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Dr. Lucha Steve Sims should be guesting on the show tomorrow. And we'll take your phone calls, emails, talk the news, as always. Thanks, everybody at Byline. Mike, as always, the callers and listeners. Dave, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.